Good afternoon, and welcome to this edition of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Aaron Spiggs with me, of course. You know him, you love him. He is the managing editor of FPC Chiefs and the social media manager for FullPressCoverage.com, Brendan Hollichek. Brendan, what's going on, man?
It's a great week. We got Super Bowl coming up. It's kind of always a mixed feeling. I feel like tough to see the season end, but it's usually been some pretty exciting Super Bowls lately, so hopefully that continues.
Now, one of the things I want to discuss, our main discussion today will be the Chiefs offense versus the 49ers defense. First and foremost, one thing I've noticed about the Chiefs in this postseason, how better their tackles have played, where you saw during the regular season, they were getting turnstiled by defensive ends. What do you think has been the major difference in their style of play during this postseason run?
Yeah, I think you kind of look at the offensive tackles, and I would point to kind of their footwork, really as being kind of the main thing that I've seen. I think you look at the AFC Championship game specifically for right tackle Juwan Taylor. There was a lot of plays where he was making some quicker adjustments against incoming pass rushers, able to kind of get, I think, more towards his outside shoulder and on his toes. A lot more urgently, maybe than what we've seen certain points this season. I don't think Donovan Smith has been, too bad either in the playoffs. It was interesting, rookie Wanya Morris looked like he was going to kind of carry that left tackle job into the playoffs, but he suffers an injury end of the regular season. And I think the big thing for Smith is he's, kind of like Taylor, is he's kept his hands clean, not getting as many penalties. I think for the most part, you're seeing the refs kind of let these guys play in the playoffs, but their technique, I think, is just a lot more improved, both with their feet and their hands right now.
Now, one thing I've noticed is, like you said, they held up versus a Baltimore defense that definitely likes to bend the corner and send extra rushers through the edges. They're facing a defensive end in Chase Young, who young, for lack of a better term, younger, talented, but has never played this deep in the season. Do you think that nerves and inexperience in big games in the NFL will cost Young, or do you think that his natural athletic ability will carry over?
Yeah, it's really interesting because you've seen kind of some comments about John Lynch, talking with the defense about some effort issues. I think, I saw some San Francisco fans kind of disappointed. I don't know how many people remember the cutback rushing touchdown Jahmyr Gibbs had in the NFC Championship game, but Young was kind of seen jogging after the play, had chances to maybe make a backside pursuit tackle and just didn't have the best effort. You've kind of also seen Nick Bosa get a little bit minimalized at times in this postseason. So it is going to be interesting to see if the effort is kind of increased, for the defensive ends. I think with Chase Young specifically, obviously hasn't made much of an impact coming over via trade, but I think the thing that will make him at least dangerous in this particular matchup against Kansas City, I think, is just his power at the point of attack. You mentioned his athleticism, but I think that power is something that he can kind of offset these Kansas City offensive tackles with. So it'll just be interesting to see if he's I don't want to say he's not going to be able to meet the challenge if he needs to, but we just haven't seen it yet in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of motivation he can kind of, muster up here.
One of the aspects on a macro level we're looking at Chase Young is he played so many years for games that were they counted, but they really weren't playoff important. Do you think it'll take him a little while longer to kind of for the coaches to be able to drum that losing mentality out of him?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is probably just is really just seeing what kind of production he can produce, and like you said, I think drumming that out of him. It's interesting because he is kind of back with a former college teammate in Nick Bosa, but I think there's been kind of this book that's been out on Chase Young on kind of ways to neutralize him, kind of with these chips and double teams. You look at some of the ways I think the Chiefs have kind of used the multiple tight end sets in the playoffs and how effective that's been for them. I think guys like Blake Bell and even Noah Gray, I could see the Chiefs kind of testing Young with those two tight ends in this game. So, it's going to be, I think, one of those things where they may not be afraid to run right at Chase Young on some running plays, and I think they're going to give just some chances to multiple blockers to kind of go after Young and kind of keep him boxed in, so to speak.
For me, I've looked at Chase Young's game. It doesn't seem like he's developed a quality counter where if his initial move doesn't work, he just kind of stays. And elite rushers, as you know, will develop that counter, which will get them free. Like you said, the Chiefs will probably send the multiple tight end sets at him and send that little chip, which will frustrate him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ran in his direction 10, 12 times on Sunday. Now, staying along the offensive line, Allegretti filling in for Joe Tooney. Is there much of a drop off, or do you think that Allegretti can hold his own?
I do think there is a drop off, but I do still think at the same time that Allegretti can kind of hold his own. It's kind of rare to have a backup guard that's been in the system for 4 to 5 seasons. So I think he's been around long enough that I think he just understands the offense really well. But I think the biggest thing you're missing if Joe Tooney is not available, there's I think kind of just versatility of Tooney that doesn't get really talked about much in the national media, obviously. I think there's so many things he does kind of getting out in space that maybe you see more with Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith talked about. But I think Tooney's always kind of been a little bit underrated in that regard, especially with some of the polling action that the Chiefs have used on their running plays in this playoff run. And then you kind of look at just the ability to kind of handle certain physical defensive tackles up the middle. I think that's something Tooney's done a really good job of since coming to Kansas City. So I do think there's a drop off, but I think Allegretti's kind of one of those rare backups that's just been in the system for so long. I thought he did really well against Baltimore in terms of just getting out in space, using his feet, and kind of making the adjustments he needed to in a quick fashion. So I think luckily for him, I don't really think the style of play is all too different than what he saw against Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. Most of these San Francisco defensive tackles are going to win off power and instincts, I think, more than anything. So I think luckily for Allegretti, he's got a very similar kind of recipe that he's dealing with here.
If you're the Niners, do you send pressure through Allegary as far as through that B gap?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those things where Patrick Mahomes has, really started to find himself in terms of maneuvering in the pocket and making kind of those subtle step ups in the pocket or slides, one or two ways, whether it's laterally or just giving himself a little extra time going backwards. So I think I think the easiest way right now to kind of pressure Mahomes, similar to some of these other young quarterbacks, is by doing it more up the interior. As crazy as that may sound, I think just with how he's handling the pocket right now and kind of getting the ball out quickly, I would say going up the interior is the way I would do it.
With such strong line play, we got to discuss probably the most underrated running back in the postseason, which is Isaiah Pacheco. Not the biggest guy, not he's about 5'10"-ish, 215-ish, but runs with violence. What makes him so effective to you?
Yeah, I think the best thing about Pacheco is I just think he's willing to kind of run through anybody. I think his quickness is a little bit something that can catch people off guard if you really haven't watched him a lot. But I think just his willingness to kind of keep going forward, running through guys, I think just the contact balance that he has. I think it was evident last year when he was in training camp as a rookie that he just kind of looked the part. There's certain running backs I think you're waiting for certain guys to just kind of create their own magic, and not everyone's capable of doing that. But I think Pacheco's almost His own blocker at times, just with the ways he's able to kind of set up runs and being able to bounce off that contact. So, I think he's just kind of one of those guys that, in this offense, it's a perfect style of runner to kind of be that physical, hard nose back. Just being able to find those extra hidden yards. I think a lot of people in the past have wanted to put so many speed and slashing running backs with the Chiefs, but I think this is truly the perfect style of back that this offense needs when they're looking to be more physical.
There are two things that stand out about Pacheco. One, the ability to break a tackle. He's broken 15 this year. That ranks pretty high in the league. And two, he catches just about everything. I think he catches at about, I want to say, 85 to 90% of his targets, which means that's another headache for the Niners defense, given that the Niners have linebackers that can cover. Do you think that they have one that can cover and stay with Pacheco that's not Fred Warner?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think Dre Greenlaw can also be that guy. I think Dre Greenlaw is kind of one of those linebackers that is actually even maybe more better suited to handle Pacheco in space than Warner. I do like Warner a lot. I just think there's I think there's just a different level of kind of tenacity that Greenlaw brings. And if you kind of look at some of the ways the Chiefs have used Pacheco on some routes, they're not even afraid to kind of line him up. In the slot or out wide, there was an early throw to him out wide in the AFC Championship game. So I could see Greenlaw being tasked with kind of going around and following him, if necessary. But even on screen passes, I think Warner can still handle it. It's just I think Greenlaw's kind of the maybe player more suited with his attributes to handle it all game long.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss two of the most talented but frustrating, headache-inducing players that you will see in the Super Bowl. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Holacek. Braden, you have in the Chiefs, they have two very talented, yet, like I mentioned before the break, frustrating receivers in Kadarius Toney and MVS. How, if you are one of these two, one can't catch, other seems like he just catches drama and grief. If you're Andy Reid, how do you play them? And do you think that they'll be able to make a sizable contribution on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I maybe mentioned it on this podcast or somewhere else not too long ago. I kind of wondered if Kadarius Toney would ever play a snap again for the Chiefs. I guess we'll see what officially happens in the Super Bowl. But the fact he got back at practice was interesting last week. For me on Toney, I think you kind of have to just use kind of these design touches, more of these kind of just I wouldn't want to say just pure trick plays, but plays that are going to get him the ball in space a lot more quickly. I think I have a little bit more confidence in MVS right now of the two players. He's still someone that can kind of line up in the slot and out wide. So I think you still have that versatility with him. I think it's just knowing that you're going to have to get him one-on-one down the field. I don't think you're expecting him to do much right now on underneath routes. I think he had some good moments in that last year in the AFC Championship game. But I think right now teams are kind of not respecting that as much. So I kind of look at MVS being the player that I would have a little more trust and faith in terms of utilizing him a little bit more in the Super Bowl. I think ways that, outside of just pure deep shots, I think you look at maybe some deep crossers, that extend beyond the sticks is kind of another area I would be willing to watch for the usage of MVS in this one. For Toney, it's just going to be interesting to see, if he doesn't get kind of those design carries or swing passes, if he's going to be able to get chances to run those short to intermediate routes. I think if he does, you're going to maybe see that more on slants or in breaking routes just into the middle of the field a lot more often.
Game on the line Sunday. If you see MVS streaking downfield, he has a step on the defender. If you're Patrick Mahomes, do you find him or do you just kind of look for a check down, knowing that there's a 50-50 chance that the ball will be dropped?
Yeah, I think it I guess if it's a situation where Kansas City's trailing, I think he would go more with the check down option. I think if it's something similar to the AFC Championship where they already have the lead and they can ice it, I think that's the more likely scenario where you maybe see MVS get the chance.
Now, we mentioned how Pacheco out of the backfield is definitely a headache. Off the line of scrimmage, got to talk about Travis Kelce. Which of the Niners players cover him? Because theoretically, you can't cover him in a safety because he's too big. If there weren't the Niners linebackers, you couldn't cover them because he's too fast, but the Niners have speed at linebacker. Does Warner, Greenlaw, or Oren Burks step up? And which one do you think will provide the best matchup?
Yeah, I would actually say Fred Warner to me personally would provide the best matchup there. I think, like you mentioned with the size, I think this is where Warner probably stands out the most to me. It just seems like he not only has the kind of physical stature, but the length to kind of get his hands just in the right spot to kind of break up some passes, especially kind of down the field. So I think Fred Warner is the one to me personally that I would be willing to take my chances on with Kelce the most. I think he's just kind of just not only physical, but I think he's just kind of so deceptive on his ability to make plays on the football, timing it up at the catch point. So I think I look at Fred Warner, especially with the range that he has as well.
The Chiefs will be going up against a former teammate in Travarius Ward, where Ward has definitely crafted himself into an elite corner. If you're Patrick Mahomes, do you throw away from him? Or do you, because you have seen him so many times in practice over the years, do you go at him?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a mix of both. I think with Ward, when you really want to take, I think some shots against him is when you can kind of get him running down the field and kind of make him maybe show his back to you. That is kind of the times I would be most willing to attack Charvarius Ward. There was actually a game I seen play late last year at San Francisco where they threw deep against him and Ward had to run down with his back towards the ball. So I think that's the most most I think beneficial chances you have against Ward. I think if you're going to check down underneath and let him come up and make a tackle, that's where he's the most dangerous because I think his click and close speed is very underrated because he's I think kind of gives off more of a savvy vibe, but he can still offer that speed clicking and closing downhill. And really I think he's improved as far as a tackler in space over the last few years as well.
As deep as the Niners are in their front seven, they are thin in their back four. Is there one player that you expect the Chiefs to, for lack of better terms, pick on constantly?
Yeah, I think I believe he was dealing with an injury, maybe a NFC Championship game, but I would expect him to be still out there. I kind of look at Ambry Thomas at cornerback. Very, very, I think hit or miss when it comes to making plays on the football, but there's also a lot of times where it just seems like he's lost in coverage, not able to find or track the football. And then you've seen, some penalties pop up as well. So I kind of look at Ambry Thomas. I just don't know physically if he can hang with much of these Chiefs pass catchers and wide receivers. And I just think the results right now just kind of continue to trend downward for that San Francisco corner.
You're the Chiefs offense, and you, like I said, you mentioned going up against a strong front four, actually front seven, so to speak, but their back end is kind of weak. Do you just kind of take multiple shots downfield, or are you worried about exposing your quarterback to shots, to extra hits?
Yeah, it's interesting because, Kansas City's been very balanced, kind of during this win streak, the last two games, regular season and in the playoffs. I kind of expect them to, if they are going to take some shots through the passing game, I think it'll be utilizing the play action pass game. They've done that a lot more with Mahomes under center during this run. So I think you could kind of see those play action passes where it's not even just a single running back in the formation. It could be extra tight end, maybe in the backfield as well. I kind of look at a Noah Gray in that situation, or kind of this full house kind of mix of a wishbone type of look as well, like they've shown in certain big moments in the playoffs. So I think it's just going to be kind of that eye candy and that play action pass that could lead to more shots than just a straight drop back passing game, which I just don't think is as likely to be successful for this year's group.
What's coming up on FBC Chiefs during Super Bowl week, and how can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at BradenHolacek9, BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs. One topic that we talked about today in this podcast episode was my first article for this week, just kind of looking at how the Chiefs offensive tackles have played in the playoffs, a much cleaner game, how that could lead to maybe some tricks that the 49ers pass rush could throw out there. Later in the week, going to be kind of looking at the wild card that Christian McCaffrey is, and kind of how to defend him among all the skilled players in San Francisco. We got opening night media night on NFL Network tonight on Monday, so going to be kind of reacting and looking at some of the biggest quotes and stories from that, probably for Tuesday's articles, and then just going to be kind of looking at the history and kind of what's at stake to round out the week as well. San Francisco looking for their first Super Bowl win in so long, versus the Chiefs kind of trying to really fortify their dynasty status and become one of the select few teams that have won back to back. So going to be kind of looking at kind of the statistical and historical stuff that's on the line later in the week as well. So can't wait to get to it, and hope everyone enjoys it.
Covering the Chiefs and the NFL like few can. Braden Hollis, Braden, thank you so much for joining us. This is what we do. This has been another fantastic episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast.